Well, we're in a series right now on Never Forget the One. So I want to encourage you to get your Bible out, your notepad out, because we're going to grow together today. And we're talking about never forget that one, that person that everyone else has forgotten, that person that everyone else has looked over, that one has been outcast, not included, not invited, looked down upon, seen as nobody, seen as insignificant, doesn't count. And we're looking at that one. We're looking to remember that one. You know, right now, Easter's coming up. And y'all, I know y'all are praying for Easter. Amen. Because Easter's the Super Bowl of the church. You know that, right? Easter is the Super Bowl of the church. People come to church on Easter more than any other time, more than Christmas, more than any other time they come to church at Easter. So right now is an opportunity for the harvest is plentiful, Jesus said. But the laborers are few. So we're working on the laborers this whole month. This whole month, we're talking about soul winning. We're talking about witnessing. We're talking about sharing our faith. And I want you to know right up front, I love you and I'm for you. And this message is not to condemn anybody at all. This message is to equip us for the work of the ministry. Can I have a good amen? So don't take any condemnation that would be of the devil. But I want to equip you because I really believe if believers knew how to share their faith, they would do it more. If they had been taught and equipped to do it, we would do it naturally. So that's my objective this whole month. We're talking about soul winning. And Jesus, didn't he say, come to me, follow me, and I will make you? Didn't he say that? Come to me, follow me, and I will make you what? Fishers of men. Fishers of men. Watch this now. Whoever I'm following, I take on their characteristics. Whoever I'm hanging out with, I become like them. Whoever I'm following, I take on their nature, I take on their characteristics, behavior, and attitude. You know, just watch your own children. You can tell who they're hanging around with by their attitude. Because your kids pick up the attitudes of those that they run around with. I remember years ago, we had a school, K through the 12th grade, years ago, K through the 12th grade. And I remember that once in a while, they'd come to me and they'd say, you know, Pastor Daniel and Stephen are acting up in school, and you need to do something about it. Why are they acting up? And I said, because they're running around with your kids. So you become like the person you're following. So we're to be followers of Christ. Am I right? Followers of Christ. If I'm a follower of Christ, then I want to become a fisher of men. Being a fisher of men and women means soul winning, means witnessing. It means sharing my faith. And that's what we're talking about this whole month. So let's get right into it. Every member at Church on the Rock, you have a ministry. Can you say that with me? Every member has a ministry. And my brother and sister, your ministry is just as important as my ministry. My ministry is not any important than your ministry. The platform ministry isn't any more important than your ministry. Everybody has a ministry. You need to know what that is. You need to know what your primary ministry is. You need to know why Jesus, after we got born again, left us on this earth. Why are we still here? What are we to do? What should be our priority? Now, we all have a calling with our vocation and our career that's so important. We all have that. But before that, we all have this primary ministry. And it's called the ministry of reconciliation. Can you say that with me? The ministry of reconciliation. What does that mean? We all of us have the ministry of bringing people to God, bringing God and people together to reconcile them. We all have that ministry. It's before any other ministry. Before I'm a pastor and a teacher, I'm an ambassador for Christ. Before I do anything else in my life, before you're a coder, an IT person, an artist, a singer, a writer, a physician, a musician, a doctor, a lawyer, before any of that, you have the ministry of reconciliation. So let me break that down. I like to take hard things, make them simple. Look with me at 2 Corinthians 5:18. Here's what the Bible says. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself. How did he do that? Easter. How did he do that? The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, our Lord. He reconciled us. The first Adam, you know, he broke covenant and he brought the curse on the earth and severed our relationship with God, the first Adam. But then a second Adam came, and his name is Jesus Christ. And he reconciled us back so we could have a relationship with God. Adam, that name means man. Did you know that? Adam means man. So the first man was Adam in the garden. The second Adam that restored what the first Adam lost was our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what Easter is all about. And he has given to us, look at the scripture, he has given unto usens, y'all, we-ins, doesn't say clergy, doesn't say just laity, it says to all of us in the family of God. No one's left out. All of us have this ministry. All of us. No, pastor, we pay you to do it. No, actually, you pay me to equip you to do it. Amen. And so that's what I love to do, a privilege to do, and with God's help, I'm going to do this month. And he's given to us, all of us, what? The ministry. So every member has a ministry. The ministry, what is it? Of reconciliation. Reconciling humanity with God. Reconciling them, bringing them together. Or witnessing, sharing our faith, sharing our testimony. Pastor, I can't do that because, Pastor, I'm an introvert. I don't have the personality. I don't have the words. Pastor, I can't do that because I don't know the Bible. Those are all lies of the devil. Those are all myths of the devil. Because my brother and sister, you do have what it takes if you're born again. Here's how you witness. You tell people what you were like before you met Christ. Then you tell them how you met Christ. Then you tell them how your life has changed after you met Christ. You with me, family? You simply tell your story. You simply say, this is what I was like before I met Jesus, and this is how I met Jesus, and this is how Jesus has changed my life. We call that sharing your faith. We call that witnessing. We call that telling your story. We call that a ministry of reconciliation. So watch this now. Every member has a ministry, and then every member at Church Rock has a ministry, and they also have a message. Every member has a ministry, and with that ministry, God has given you a message. God has given you a message that will make a difference in other people's life. I love that. There are people that only you can reach, I will never reach them. There are people that I can reach that you will never reach them. But together, usens, all of us, we can reach the unreached and tell the untold and remember the one everybody else has forgotten. Can I have a good witness on that? Amen. So every member has a ministry, and within that ministry, you have a message. And when you share that message, you actually make a difference in other people's life. Verse 19, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that he, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and has committed unto us, there's us again, the word or message of reconciliation. Next verse. Now then, we are ambassadors. You realize if you're born again, if you're a Christ follower, if you're a Christian, this world is not your home. You are a pilgrim passing through. The Bible says you're a citizen of another world called heaven. And you're here on loan from the King of Kings to represent him in this world. And we call that being an ambassador. You represent the king from which the country you came from. And the country that you're a citizen of now, if you're born again, is heaven. Am I communicating? The Bible says you're seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. That's your new identity. That's your new position. It's not necessarily your location, but it's your new position in Christ. So say it with me. I have a ministry with a message that's making a difference in that one. I am an ambassador. Whoa, you guys are so awesome. Now, I make hard things simple. So let's go to another paraphrase that will break it down. The Passion Translation, same scripture. 2 Corinthians 5:18, the Passion Translation. Watch. And God has made all things new and reconciled us to himself. Now we have a relationship with him. And has given unto us, all of us, every one of us, a ministry of reconciling others, the one other people have forgotten, reconciling other people to God. In other words, it was through the anointed one, that's Jesus. It was through the anointed one that God was shepherding. Shepherds in the Bible represent Jesus. Sheep in the Bible represent us. Sheep without a shepherd wander and go astray. Every sheep needs a shepherd. We need a shepherd to guide us, guard us, and lead us. You don't drive sheep, you drive cattle. You lead sheep. You don't drive sheep or beat sheep, you lead sheep. Can I have a witness on that? Because I know a lot of pastors who beat the sheep. All right? So of their transgressions, and he has entrusted to us the ministry of opening the door. Opening the door of reconciliation to God. In other words, in the Bible, in the New Testament, the epistles are called letters. They're written letters. For example, Philippians is a written letter to the church at Philippi. Colossians, it's a written letter to the church at Colossae. Galatians, it's a written letter to the church at Galatia. But you and I have been called to be living letters by our life, our conduct, our conversation, our character, our commitment. When people look at us, we're different. We're unique. We're not like the world. There's something about us that they want. And when they see us and how God has blessed us, our life is an open door for them to walk through into the kingdom of God. Am I communicating? You are salt. You are light. You are to make people thirsty. Salt makes you thirsty. Our life should make people thirsty for God. When they see the goodness of God on your life becomes a living, not written, a living, alive letter to them. And your life, it becomes an open door. They say, I want what you have. I need what you have. I don't want religion, but I want a relationship with God. And your life becomes an open door for people to walk through to be reconciled unto God. Come on, let's thank God for that. Amen. We are ambassadors of the anointed one, Jesus, who carry your carriers of the atmosphere. We carry, here it is, the message. So we already established every Christian has a ministry. And in that ministry, you have a message. It's called the gospel. Gospel means good news. And when we share good news like it should be shared, our life becomes an open door that people want to walk through our testimony and meet the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And so what happens is that not only that we have this message of the good news, then you're making impact on other people's lives. And the message of Christ to the world, look at this verse. As though God were tenderly pleading with them directly through our big fat mouth. It says lips. Y'all reading that on the screen? So notice that God wants to anoint our mouth. God wants to work through our mouth. Let our mouth be a microphone for a message. And that message is to be a message of hope, deliverance, rescue, restoration, starting over, beginning new, total forgiveness. Every sin blotted out in my past, my present, and my future. And God puts all of our mistakes, God puts all of our sin into the sea of forgetfulness. And then he puts up a sign and says, no fishing here. So when you hear that voice that talks about how you blew it, made mistakes, you fell short, you sinned, that's condemnation. That's shame and guilt. And Jesus has rescued us and reconciled us to God the Father. We are new creations. That is not from God. Resist it, rebuke it, cast it down. No shame, no guilt, no condemnation. Oh, come on, don't patty cake. Let's give the Lord a big praise. So let's look at the same passage. Again, breaking the difficult, making it simple. The ministry of reconciliation. Us-ins all have it. You have a message that will reach people I can never reach. I have a message that will reach people that you could never reach. But we have a ministry, and God gives you a message, and it's good news, and it will make a difference on other people's lives. The ones others have forgotten. The ones others have given up on. Who's that one that you're going to invite to Easter this year? And this is not condemnation. This is challenge. When's the last time you led someone to the Lord? Have you ever led someone to the Lord? Don't let that condemn you, but let that challenge you that it's the devil that tells you God could never use you. That's a lie from the devil. God wants to use you. God rescued you. God called you. God gave you a ministry. God gave you a message. And when you share that message, your story, what I was like before I met Christ, how I met Christ and how my life has changed since I met Christ, it will absolutely impact other people for eternity. Oh, come on, no patty cake. Living Bible, same passage. All these new things are from God who brought us back to himself. How did you do that, God? Easter, through what Christ did, what Christ Jesus did. That God has given unto us, uns, all of us, the privilege. So it's not a hard task. We don't have to share our faith. We don't have to witness. We get to. Look at the word. It's a privilege to what? Urge people. Urge everyone. Don't forget the one. Don't give up on that one. There's no one too hard of a case for God to change their life. Has given us the privilege of urging. There should be a sense of urgency. That's why we should share our faith. Are you watching the Middle East right now? That's end time events. We're getting very close. You know the doomsday clock they all talk about? They say that doomsday clock they all talk about is just seconds before midnight. This whole thing is about to wrap up. Why do I want to share my faith? Why do I want to witness? Because there should be a sense of urgency. I don't want anybody to die and to go to hell. I don't want anybody to be in eternity without the presence of an almighty God. There should be an urgency. So he said that you would urge everyone to come unto his favor and be reconciled to him. For God was in Christ restoring, restoration. The world to himself, no longer, look at this family, no longer counting men's sins. Aren't you glad God doesn't keep a record of our sin, our mistakes, our faults? That's the booger man. That's the devil. That's dragon breath. That's Satan himself. God is not keeping record of our sin. That's the message. That's the good news. That gives people hope. You don't got to blow your brains out. You haven't committed the unpardonable sin. As long as you got breath, you have opportunity. God was in Christ restoring the world to himself, no longer counting men's sin against them, but blotting them out. This is the message that he's given us to tell other people. We are Christ's ambassadors. God is using us. God use us. God is using us to speak to you. We're a living letter. We beg you as though Christ himself were here pleading with you. We're Christ's representative. The only Christ most people will see is you. The only Christ that your children are going to see is you. The only Christ that your grandkids are going to see is you. The only Christ that many people will ever see is you. You and I are his ambassador. You and I represent him in a dark, dying, crying, sighing world of humanity. When they see us, they should see Jesus. Amen. So he says here, as though Christ himself were pleading with you, receive the love he offers to you, be reconciled unto God. Everyone say, the ministry of reconciliation. I have a message of hope, deliverance, restoration, new beginning. It will impact others for eternity. Now, all that was my introduction. Here's my sermon. Y'all ready? Luke 15, the whole chapter is dealing with things that are lost. A lost sheep, a lost coin, a lost son. It's three parables. What is a parable? It's a story. A parable, you share something people know to reveal something they don't know. And so sheep and shepherds were common in that culture in that day. So look what happens. They drew near unto him, Jesus. The publicans and the sinners drew near to hear him. Now, family, I'm teaching expository now, verse by verse, revelation knowledge. Look at this. Look who he attracted. He attracted the people that no one else wanted. A publican there was a tax collector. Tax collectors would be like the IRS today. Tax collectors were hated by the Romans and the Jewish people because they received taxes from the Jewish people to give to the Roman Empire. The Romans saw them as traitors, and the Jewish people hated them for the heavy taxes. So they were outcasts. They weren't included. They weren't invited. They weren't in the hip group, crowd, tribe, or group of people. They were looked upon as the lowest of the lowest. And then look, sinners. So these outcasts, remember the one at Easter, no one else would invite, no one else would include, no one else wanted. Look at this. They drew near to do what? Hear him. Well, when we come to church at Church on the Rock on the weekend, you know, we have a Saturday night service at 5 o'clock, Sunday morning at 9, 11, and 2 o'clock. We have four services every weekend now. When we come, I know you do, we come to hear. We don't come to look what we can argue about. We're not setting up, Jesus wasn't setting up an apologetic forum to debate scripture, to be negative, to complain, to look at what's wrong. I came to that church, this is what they do wrong, that's what they do wrong. I don't like the lights, I don't like the sound, I don't like the fog, I don't like how big it is, how small it is, how long the service, how short the service. No, they didn't come to do any of that. They came to hear. I have to come with the right spirit in order to hear. I came today to hear. I did a word from God, a right now word. That's the attitude that we have to have. He that hath an ear, let him hear. That's spiritual, not natural. So soon as notice that no one wanted them, no one will remember that one. No one cared about them. No one loved them. No one would invest in them. No one would coach them. No one would mentor them. No one would help them. But they were attracted to his message. And they came not to complain or look what was wrong with him. They came to hear. And that's what I want to challenge you and me every weekend when we come to Church on the Rock. Let us come to not find out what we disagree with, what we don't agree with, what we don't like. Let's come to hear what the Spirit of God wants to say to each one of us every weekend. Yeah, verse 2. And the Pharisees and the scribes murmured. This is the religious crowd. Did you know that these Pharisees and the scribes, they were murmuring and they were complaining, they were griping, they were upset. They didn't want those people in their synagogue. They didn't want them in their church. They didn't look like them, smell like them, act like them, have the education they had. And so they looked down on them. And at the end of this whole parable, remember it says, when one sheep is lost and is found, all of heaven rejoices. Do you know why Jesus taught that? Because the Pharisees and the scribes wanted those people to go to hell. You study church history. You study the culture. You go to Josephus, and these Pharisees, the religious people, wanted those other people to go to hell. They wouldn't let them in heaven if it was their choice. And the Pharisees and the scribes murmured, saying, "This man receiveth sinners, and look at this family, he eateth." That's huge. Why, Pastor? Because in their culture, for them to sit down and have a meal together, it was a big, long event. And when you had a meal together in Jesus' time, in Jesus' culture, watch this now, it meant you accepted those you were eating with. The key word is accepted. Church on the Rock, I founded it 42 years ago with Kim, and it's been this way. We accept anybody of any color, of any age, of any background. We love the world. We love the outcast. We love the one that no one else will remember. And so we accept everybody. Now watch this, but we don't have to approve of their lifestyle. Big difference. Big difference. We accept everybody, the addict, the whoremonger, the gossip. We accept black, white, yellow, brown, young, old. We accept everybody. We accept everybody. Jesus did. But that doesn't mean we approve of their lifestyle. Does that make sense? Okay, so they were eating together as the team comes out. Watch this now. And he spake this parable unto them. And he said, "What of you having 100 sheep?" Sheep represent us. Shepherd represents him. "What man of you having 100 sheep, if you lose one of them, don't you leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until you find it?" Big idea. Jesus goes after the lost. At Church on the Rock, my heart's desire is all 100 ministries that we have here, that we go after the lost, that we go after the people nobody else wants in their church, that we go after the hurting, the hopeless, the destitute, the defeated, that we go after those that no one else will remember and everyone has forgotten. And notice that they're in the wilderness or they're into worldliness. Wow. If I'm a sheep without a shepherd, I tend to drift. I tend to start doing my own thing. I tend to compromise. I tend to rationalize. I tend to blend into the culture. Every sheep needs a shepherd, a local church, an under shepherd. That you're sitting in that, not five churches, but one. You have more than one, you're going to get confused and be dysfunctional. And so look at this. After which is lost, he went after the lost, but watch this, until he found it. What does that mean? Jesus never gives up on anybody. Jesus never quits on anybody. Jesus never stops loving anybody. Jesus never stops trying on anybody. I love that, don't you? So don't give up on those hard cases, because in God's eyes, they are not hard cases. God knows the person with the ministry, with the message that can reach your children. God knows the person with the ministry and the message that can reach your husband or your wife or your parents or your aunt or your uncle or your coworker. God has somebody with a ministry of reconciliation that has a message that can make a difference in their life. Pray for them to cross their path. Come on, let's don't patty cake. Let's give the Lord a big praise. Everybody say, "Remember the one." I'm in junior high. And I'm running around with the wrong crowd. I'm running around the wrong crowd because I told you last weekend, you know, about those murmurers and Pharisees and scribes, religious people. That I told you last weekend about how one of the deacons in our church came to me one day as a junior higher and said, "You got to cut your hair. You got to dress differently. You can't do this. You can't do that. You can't do this. You can't do that." And that broke my spirit. And so what I kind of did, I kind of just went away from the church and I started hanging out with the wrong crowd. Remember, I taught you who you're following. You take on their behavior, their attitudes, and their characteristics. Jesus said, "Follow me and I'll make you a fisher." I'll show you how to be a fisher of men, how to be a soul winner, how to share your faith, how to witness. And so one day, this group of guys I was running with, they dared me to do something. And so I did it. And I broke the law. And I got caught. And I got arrested. I'm in junior high. And they took me down. They took me down to the chief of police office, the jailhouse downtown. And the chief of police, now, I grew up in a town like Mayberry, Andy Griffin. And the chief of police, his name was Earl, Chief Earl. He was my best friend's dad, okay? So we were close. Our families were close. And so the chief said, Dave, you know you did wrong. I got to call your parents. So he called my mom and dad. They came down and they got me. They set up a court date for me to go before a judge. Never forget the one. And so weeks later, I was in the courthouse on the square in downtown. And we were in the courtroom, and there were my parents, and there were some other people from the church, and there was my pastor, and I was standing before the judge. And the judge was talking to my parents, and he was asking them about me. And they met well, I don't blame them, but my mom and dad said, we can't do anything with them. We've tried. We give up. I'm so glad God doesn't give up, and he always remembers that one. And so they said, we can't help him. Judge, we've tried, and we don't know what to do with him. He's in your hands. That's what my parents said. So the judge said, Dave, you know what you did was wrong. I said, yeah. He said, well, I'm going to have to pronounce this judgment on you. And right before he did, my pastor raised his hand and said, Judge, can I say something? And the judge said, who you be? And he said, I'm his pastor. Okay? So my pastor stood up. I can still remember that afternoon. Still see it with my eyes. And my pastor, his name was Leroy. He's in heaven today. My pastor stood up and said, Judge, I know what he did was wrong. It went through all that. But Judge, I believe in him. I believe he's a good boy. He's just started running around with wrong people. And Judge, I'm going to ask you as his pastor to give him a second chance. So the judge thought for a few minutes and he said, David, stand up. Based upon what your pastor has said, I'm going to give you one more chance. I'm going to put you on probation for 1 year. And every Friday afternoon, you have to meet with your probation officer. And if you don't, if you miss one Friday for the next year, I'm sending you away. So here's my judgment. So, you know, I thank God that my pastor never forgot the one. Because if it hadn't been for my pastor, who remembered the one that everyone had given up on, I wouldn't be here today. There would be no church on the rock. So I said that to say this, who's the one in your life that everybody else has given up on? Who's that one that only you and your message can reach, help, deliver, and rescue for eternity? Everybody say, never forget. The one. I'm done. Did you get something today? Come on, let's thank the Lord.
Thanks for watching this week's message. One way for you to connect here at Church on the Rock is through the God is for You classes. These classes are designed to teach you about the culture, mission, and values of Church on the Rock and about your God-given design. You can take these classes anytime by going to our website at cotr.org/God is for You. And if you want to know about all the incredible things we have here at Church on the Rock, make sure to visit our website at cotr.org. And never forget, God is for you.